You're very welcome back to the 9 till noon show here on Highland Radio. A caller says, Greg, can we have a peek of a ballot paper again on your Facebook page, please? Missed it during the week. Well, it is there. And for those of you who are watching, it's up on the screen. And it is a long one. There's 20 candidates in all. Nikki Bradley's at the very top. And then Charles Ward is at the very, very bottom. You can vote for as many or as few people as you like, by the way. But do understand that if you go one, two, three, so theoretically, if you voted Piers Doherty one and you wanted to go ain't do two, you heard from John McAteer explain it quite well there. It's likely then that they're drawn out randomly, don't get me wrong. But anyway, it just is possible then that your number two could go to ain't to, but you could give your first to Piers Doherty as an example. And you go one, two, three, four. You can just do one person, or you can do all 20. So you can go from one to 20. Just make sure to use numbers and also to make sure that you differentiate between a one and a seven really quite clearly. You can imagine if they go to scrutinise votes and it's a one and a seven could look very similar, or a five and a two, or a you know what I mean? So just make sure that you're clear in that regard if you're going down that far. You can use a pen or a pencil. It's up to you. Take your own pen. If you don't trust the system, that's perfectly fine as well. There's nothing against that. You don't need your polling card to have been delivered to your home. The likelihood is you're on the register and you just turn up with your photo ID and then you are able to vote. But there you go. That's it. And it only takes a wee moment, but it could make a huge difference here in County Donegal or to your preferred candidate. So that's that. Will No Jordan not get a lot of Pierce's transfers? Well, John kind of, as part of the process of talking to that 800 plus people, was getting indications of where they're likely to go. So yes, but it seems at this stage that he is primarily transferring to Padraig McLaughlin. And of course, Noel Jordan's going to benefit from that. I didn't have any canvassers for Fianna Fáil and Glen Swilly, although Charlie McConnellogue was seen in the area. They must think Charlie's safe or is sure of our votes. Nasty racist undercurrent within the Donegal Gaeltacht in this election. Four candidates of the far-right anti-immigration group. One school teacher putting up her own poster in Annagry was told to F off back to England. You don't like to see that, do you? There's some candidates whose, you know, people close to them, they've either worked abroad or their partners aren't originally from Ireland. So if we start throwing stones in that direction, it'd be interesting to see how it all went. All Pat the Cope did was help building contractors. He never helped the small people. He's just your typical Fianna Fáil candidate. A lot of people would disagree that it's quite the reverse. But anyway, listening to the radio, Charlie McConnellogue said that everyone in defective concrete blocked homes had gotten increased grants. So I was told by the council that there is no legislation for us to get a full redress and that they're just telling us this. The increased rates aren't in force yet, but I think really that they're being administered retrospectively, so it's been presumed that everyone will benefit from them. We don't get the full scheme. We're not getting full redress. There is no legislation for full redress. We are in the process, but that could take up to 6 months. Another, Nikki Bradley has refused to turn up to two debates. She also did not meet the families of children with disabilities. Helen says Fine Gael has left Inishowen behind. Very little support in Inishowen from the poll, indeed. That is reflected in that poll. A caller says Pierce will be at 8,000 votes. Who will this number go to? This is the surplus. How are surplus votes distributed from that from what area? Who decides that 8,000 votes are distributed? Well, this is the whole county, right? So we often talk in this county about Inishowen North, South, you know, Glenties. For the purpose of this election, all of the votes go into the Aura Leisure Centre and they're all from everywhere. So my understanding is that if there is a surplus, there is they are distributed as who is, God, I'm not making any sense. The number twos are transferred, but it's not, I'm not sure it's geographical. We'll dig into that. I think Piers Doherty would be a better leader of Sinn Féin than Mary Lou McDonald, says a caller. Another, haven't had one person at my door looking for my vote. Neither have I, but I would find that quite a convenience. I don't miss it. Hi, Greg. Fianna Fáil vote has been falling for years. A lot of Joe McHugh's vote was personal. And with Joe gone, most of those personal votes will go back to where they came from. Yeah, but where is those votes going to? That's what I find interesting. Another points out that Joe McHugh only scraped into the last election. I never seen a candidate yet. Yes, the leaflets came in through the door all while I was at home, twice yesterday from Sinn Féin, but not a knock to say hello, what's your view? I live in Buncrana and it's not good enough. It would make me want to not vote. Or just change how you might vote, if that's the case. Or don't change. Or, you know, it's like I often say with questioning, sometimes people don't like the answer, but sometimes the answer you don't like, or sometimes the non-answer is the answer. Hi, Greg. Any person in Donegal would vote this government back into power again would need their heads examined. They did nothing for the people. Thank you. The only shown people know Charlie is recently shown his true colours, and we won't forget. Another, actually got a couple of texts on this, that Pat the Cup Gallery is a transition candidate. In other words, that he's only standing to give someone else their seat. I'm not friends with any politicians, but I think I know Pat the Cup Gallagher. I'd be very surprised, and I'd never rule anything out, but I'd be incredibly surprised if he was going in or seeking election to lay the pathwork for somebody else. But anyway, that's just a view. How in touch with the last paper's poll? It wasn't far off at all. Parties should not be allowed to choose the parties they go into government with. It should be whoever has most votes, and then the next party with the most votes to create the government. Yeah, but that's just not our system. You know, that's just not our, that would be just a different system altogether. And you might not like the answer to that either, because the two biggest parties are potentially, by the sounds of it, it sounds to me like you're not necessarily a current government fan. The reality is the two biggest parties in this country after the next general election may well be Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil. We just don't know how it's going to play out. Greg, my son's voting for the first time in this election. Last night he told me his teacher told them they have to mark all the 20 boxes. I thought you voted 1, 2, 3 and stop if you wanted to. She told him if they don't mark all 20 boxes, the paper would be invalid. Could be. Yes, I can clarify that right away. That's nonsense. You can vote for one person. It could be possible that the teacher just misunderstood that. No, you don't have to go 1 to 20. And I think really, I think it's important you vote for who you want to vote for, and if you understand what they're doing, or you have a political party or non-party affiliation. I think just running through the 20 for the sake of filling it out is, I don't really know what purpose it serves. It could actually influence the election. I'm not saying it's not important, but I think most people won't go down that far, that's for sure. And you can also just vote 1 or 20, it's up to you. The Red Sea poll before the last election was completely wrong, so I wouldn't put much faith in that poll. The Red Sea poll, yes, I agree. I know exactly what you're saying. It didn't account for, I mean, Fianna Fáil, for an example, consistently argue that polls don't pick up their support. Sinn Féin obviously did much better than the polls were suggesting last time out. There's a different, slight difference between those national polls, which are, you know, a scattergun, compared to the likes of the Tribune poll, which is specific to areas. It's broken down into certain areas. They speak to people. They ask people questions. You know, it does give a very close reflection in that moment in time as to how people might vote. The Red Sea polls are, as I say, they're, I don't have a great deal of faith in them. They're just scattergons. And I'm, there's so many variables, right? Because half of Fine Gael's TDs aren't running. So how does that reflect in Fine Gael's support, right? 20% of people might support them, but how does that transfer into seats? You know, Sinn Féin are running much more candidates, but as that vote breaks down in each constituency, how does that translate actually into seats? The popular vote does not necessarily do that. There are so many variables. It's not just the most popular party on a given day across the country that wins the most seats per se. It's often a very strong indication, but there you go. And I could just keep going now for the next hour and 40 minutes on comments. I will keep them coming, though, as the morning wears on. I've got in my hand, and I don't know why this happens, but I've got in my hand a polling card for someone who's deceased. It was forwarded on to us, and I don't know whether you're upset about it or just pointing out the fact that it shouldn't be happening. A bit of both, was it? Yeah. So a deceased person, a polling card's come through the post for them, which is very saddening, as I say, I have it here in my hand. But also, too, I presume the question is how many others are receiving polling cards and them deceased. Right, okay, more on the way.
The county's number one talk show, the 9 till noon show on Highland Radio.
Now, you're very welcome back to the programme. On to it, we welcome Thomas Costello. Thomas, good morning to you. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Good morning, Greg. Good morning to yourself and to your listeners there. And thanks for having me on this morning.
No, it's an important topic. Take us back to earlier in this month. You, of course, people probably should know, you live on Arranmore Island. It's a busy, vibrant spot much of the year. But in November, generally speaking, it returns to a bit of quiet normality. But that wasn't the case on one particular night in November.
No, that's right. Two weeks coming now on Saturday, Friday night, Saturday morning, I think the 16th of November. We had a bit of an incident out there. I suppose it's just quite worrying. I suppose the fact that we have an elderly population on the island at the minute, but probably our population is in around the 400 people mark, which includes an awful lot of more senior people, I suppose, in our community. And I suppose to give you the guts of the story to yourself, Greg, and to your listeners, is a large stag party from Sligo, I believe, came to the island. I suppose, first of all, I want to say that, as everybody knows, Arranmore is definitely opened. It's open for everybody to come. We want to see as many people. It's a huge part of our survival on the island is tourism, which I'd be heavily involved in myself with running various festivals and different stuff. So it's not a case that this is a thing that, you know, we don't want people to come to the island. But I suppose what happened here is that a very unorganised stag party came to the island of approximately 30 people for the weekend. And it can escalate into a bit of a disaster, I suppose, would be the right way to put it, where there was a lot of damage done to various properties on the island. I myself had a car that was stolen, but didn't really get too far. And I suppose the more serious issue here was that one of the gentlemen entered my house where my elderly mother lives, and she awoke to a stranger in the bedroom.
Now, that is a lot of people's worst nightmare. So she was lying in bed asleep. She woke up and there was a strange man in her room.
That's correct. 4:20 in the morning, Greg. So very, very worrying. And, you know, a lot to get over. And, you know, we're probably still dealing with it. And the amount of people, you know, that has them worried as well now. So we have an elderly population. We've had incidents in the past in the island that was probably never solved. Where stuff has gone wrong with elderly people. I suppose this kind of just brings it all back up, and people don't really know where we're going. You think a remote place like Arranmore Island, that this stuff shouldn't happen, but unfortunately it does. But I suppose to give you a rundown of what happened is, after going back over, I suppose we're one of the lucky ones that there was CCTV installed. And after going back, I suppose I'll just try and give you the story the best I can, as I say, without repeating myself. So what happened was, I thought I heard screaming or shouting, but didn't pay any. I was kind of half asleep after 4:00 in the morning. But then maybe a minute or so after, I heard multiple people shouting, both my brother and my mother. I was fortunate to be home that Friday night. Very unusual that I would be home at the weekends, but that was one of the Friday nights that I was on the island. I remember my brother saying, get up, there's a car, one of the vehicles has gone on the street, and there's been strange people in through the house. So I kind of jumped up, kind of startled, didn't know what was going on, and looked out the window, and I could see there's some street lights further on down the road on towards the Arranmore Holiday Village. And my brother said, hey, that's your car, must be down there, because I would have multiple vehicles parked outside on this bit of a street to the yard at the front of the house, to do with my business. There'd be multiple different vehicles, jeeps and vans and promotional cars and different stuff. But I say the car that was parked outside the front door was gone. And I thought there was a car down at a neighbouring house that's a holiday home, I hope, that they come to at the weekends. And ran down the road thinking that was it. But it turned out that there's a Ukrainian family living not to another house, not far from my mother's house. And they had a car that was parked there that was taken as well, and down into the entrance of this other person's house. So realised that wasn't my vehicle, ran back up the road. My brother says that the car that was missing was actually taken round the back of my mother's house and tried to go in via my mother's property and my own property, which is to the back, to the side of my mother's house. And you can see it was damaged, so they actually tried to squeeze through. I don't even know how they managed it, looking at the CCTV fence, how they managed to get the front of the car in between the two properties. So, seeing the car, told, got onto the CCTV, went back over. It's a real high quality CCTV system where it shows where there is movement outside. So it gives you the exact time of there'll be a wee green bar will come up on the CCTV system showing you when there was movement outside the property. So went back. The first movement was at something like 3:25 in the morning. They were there at the car. That's when it all happened with the car. To try to get through, and various crashed into the house, crashed into stuff that was at the side of my property for a marquee.
So it sounds, it sounds like they ran amok, effectively. So this is after, you know, after any licensed premises have are closed, I presume. Were they just walking back to accommodation and just thought they could go in and out through people's houses, steal cars? What was going on?
Not quite sure. I suppose the only saving grace really is that they didn't manage to get the vehicle off the street.
Yeah.
Because, and I don't know how they didn't. They must have been that intoxicated or whatever that they didn't manage that. But so that incident happened. They then left the vehicle, pulled the keys out of the vehicle, and threw the keys on an outdoor seat bench at the front of the house. And then there's a gap then till about 4:15 where they returned to the vehicle. But you can see on one of my CCTV cameras, at that time they went to the other. You can see activation where their other vehicle, the Ukrainian's car, was moved at that stage as well. So they must have been within the vicinity for that 20 to 40 minutes. But then they returned and entered the property then after 4 o'clock.
Were they active in any other areas of the island? Because, I mean, obviously, right, in November, I presume there's not a God of Presence on the island. It's absolutely pitch black. Was the word going around that this stuff was happening? Was it just these properties on this side of the island they were at, or do you know, Thomas?
No, well, it's near the end, a very small place. You know, we have a population of 400 people, and everybody knows everybody. And I suppose it's the worst place you could come. You know, there's no place to hide out there because, you know, it's the island's at 7 square miles, and, you know, numerous phone calls, and the whole lot gets pieced together very, very fast, you know. But I suppose then what happened then was, that's when the screaming then, my mother screamed when one of the gentlemen were in the house. And as I say, that's when I got up, et cetera, et cetera. So they left. So on seeing the CCTV footage, we then called the Gardaí 999, got through to Milford. And honestly, the response of the Gardaí is second to none, and they deserve huge, huge credit. I suppose both themselves and the Arranmore Blue Ferry, because the guards were on the island probably by, I think, 5:25 to 6 in the morning. They were on scene. So, you know, there was Shane O'Gara came out, and there was another gentleman with him, unfortunately, I can't remember his name, and went through the whole thing. Now, my mother was very, very badly shook, and still not really probably dealing with it the best possible way. But, you know, hopefully through time that'll improve. So they came. But in the meantime, when we were waiting for the Gardaí to arrive, I kind of took a scoot around the island to see could I locate these guys, and went up then another neighbour's house further up the road. There were two, a couple of cars up there, doors were opened, and a farmer's jeep and his car up at the house. The keys weren't in them vehicles, so that was that. But then on further, I suppose as the day went on, Saturday, just to fast forward, there was another house then, approximately maybe 1/4 mile over the road, where all the guttering was pulled off the house. A lot of damage done there on that house. Further on over then, towards the other side of the island, there was a store over there where a guy was out with his dog, and there were around a shed there where they were pulling big fishing ropes from a shed out onto the main road. Just completely random acts of, I don't know what, you know, was the reason behind it. You know, as I say, many people, including myself, have had a lot to drink at nights, but them kind of things would never cross your mind why they would be the things to be doing.
What were the demographic of these people? Like, you said they were at a stag party. I mean, were they, not the teenagers are bad and older people are good, but these are professional people, aren't they?
They're professional people, but I suppose it's fair to point out as well that there's two individuals involved here out of the group. You know what I'm saying? Now, these people, obviously, I have a lot of information on them since. you know, these guys are, these aren't young people. Like, one of these guys are married. One of them has his own business. No, I'm not going to go into too much detail.
No, well, we'll leave that side of it, but suffice to say, they should know better. So only so two of the 30 were playing up effectively.
Those two that have done this damage. Now, but I'm speaking to various people in business on the island. They were asked to leave a lot of premises to these groups of people.
Now, let's get on to the CCTV, because there could be a defence of ignorance. Because there's 30 people, it wasn't me. And if 30 people say it wasn't me, well, then it's very hard to progress an investigation. And this is where the high-quality CCTV comes into play for evidential value. It's of a quality that presumably it will help the Garda investigation.
100%. You know, the Garda have told me, as I say, that they couldn't get over how clear this was. Now, Tim, the cameras are all infrared. All angles of the property is, I have covered. And, I'm speaking to you about this, Greg, last week, as I said to you. Probably another important part of this here is, you know, we're coming into the time of year now, it's Christmas, Greg, and the amount of people saying, oh, I don't know what to get my mother or my father or my granny or whatever the case may be. People honestly should look at this day. Unfortunately, we are where we are, but people should maybe look at the idea of getting CCTV or making, maybe saying, you know, a family come together and say, well, you know what, this Christmas, let's put CCTV in for our parents or for or whoever. Because the Gardaí have told me this case would have been so hard to knuckle down if it wasn't for the quality of the CCTV we had. Because it's a blame game. How do you separate X from Y? You know what I'm saying here, Greg?
Yeah, of course, yeah. I know. And as I say, with a large group, unless you were able to very much guide the direction of the investigation, it would be a great challenge. We spoke to someone recently, a bar owner in Inishowen, who was saying, look, at busloads of people are being dropped off at the pub and drinking tours. They can often be disrespectful. There's no one ultimately responsible for them. And was at a point saying that, look, if people don't sort of take control of the situation or aren't more respectful, we're going to have to discourage these types of drinking tours or whatever you might call them in calling to certain premises. At least they are on the mainland and have easy access to Angara Síochána and what have you, in case anything does flare up like that. Éireannmhór doesn't have that luxury, even though the Gardaí responded as quickly as they did. It is an island and it is remote. And there is a sense sometimes that people can go over there, I think, and do whatever the hell they like, as if they own it for the period of time they're out there. Do we need to have a conversation about large of unorganised groups of individuals just effectively getting off at the pier, and after that, you know, there's nothing really there for them except, you know, booze and a lack of authority?
100%, Greg, and that's already taken place. As I say, I know from speaking to Sergeant Kim McGettigan, our local sergeant here, as I say, who's tremendous help as well with this whole dilemma and situation that we're in. You know, what's going to happen before Christmas? There's a meeting taking place in Armour, and I know there's been stuff before trying to get a bit, I don't know if law and order is the right word to put on it, but that we're going to be in a more way of organised way of working. As I said, there's nobody brings more people to Armour Island than myself with events and festivals. But when I do that, there's a full event. There's a event management plan put in place. It's run through with the local Gardaí. We have a great local community guard there, Richie Quigley, who comes to the island, you know, at the drop of a hat. He's coming and going all the time. Very easy to work with. And it's really a matter of keeping the Gardaí informed what's happening. But as I say, in order if you're taking groups of people to the island, now you can still organise a group of people to the island, and you can still maybe people that maybe get too much to drink or they're a bit young, maybe get out of hand. But if you have a situation in place where everything is organised, and what I mean by organised is that, you know, if there's people coming, that you have the first thing is a transport system for them in place. Now, when I run my events, there's a local bus service been on the operation on the island for years, McGeegan's Coaches, who do school runs, etc. I contact them, say, there's 200-300 people coming for whatever it may be, the Whistling Donkeys or the Country Fest or whatever it is. They'll be here. This is the dates. You know, can you put another bus on? He'll accommodate, put a second bus on. Mm. Everybody comes to the island, gets the phone number. That's the phone number. When their tickets, wherever they're staying, it's on the back of their thing, the house they're staying in, mm-hmm. the phone number for the bus, so they know what they're doing.
I get you, and I understand that, Thomas, but just have to move it on here. Finally, then, what's the function of this meeting? Is it people involved?
It's to do this here that it's organised, Greg. That whoever's coming, like, that's one thing with the transportation thing. But another thing is that there's somewhere for these people to eat. Like, in November, there's nowhere open to eat in Ironmore Island. So if people are out drinking for whatever 4, 5, 6 hours, and there's nothing to eat. Okay. So that's what I'm trying to say, Greg, is there have to be steps in place that if there's a group coming, that there's stuff laid on. Like November, there's nothing happening in Ironmore in November. And I suppose that, you know, the main point of this here is that, and I can speak for a lot of people in this here, a lot of people, because people that's away from home, that is elderly people on the island, have reached out to me about this here and said that, you know, how worrying it is and all the rest. That I suppose we're saying we're not open for this type of business on Ironmore Island. Okay. We're not open for this. We're welcome. There's loads of stuff to do in Ironmore, and there's been huge, huge investment on the island of Ironmore between our local, between the government, Donegal County Council, Uthers and the Gaeltacht, Core Common Island, Ironmore. Huge, huge investment. And it's a great place to come, Greg. You've been there many times yourself.
Mm-hmm.
But we're not open for this. That's just people coming for this kind of behaviour.
Large groups coming off-season. No facilities there for them. I get you. All right, listen, Thomas, thanks very much. And as you say, I think you're right there. You know, an alarm system or quality CCTV, a great idea to group together for a loved one. Thanks so much, Thomas Costello there. That case will be coming before the courts later this month into next month. A caller says, Greg, it's unfortunately one of the many things you have to do paperwork-wise when someone dies. The next of kin needs to contact them and ask them to remove the deceased person from the register. You can probably do it online. I phoned them. That's in relation to someone receiving a polling card, ballot card. What is it? Polling card for a deceased family member. Remind voters to cross their 7 preference. Yeah, indeed, so it's not confused as a 7 or a 1, sorry. Everyone, please vote. Look at other places without democracy. It doesn't bear thinking about. Good morning, everyone. Just to say, as regards the general election, please, please, ladies of Donegal, use this opportunity to elect all women of Donegal. Right, OK, more of those on the way. I want to speak to Jared Kelly first. Hi, Jared. Good morning to you.
Hi, good morning, Greg.
What's the story as it relates to boats using Greencastle Harbour?
I'm just going to try to get somewhere to sit down, Greg. So basically, Greencastle, there's quite a lot of pelagic fish around Greencastle at the moment. And the smaller boats were able to take advantage of this and earn a bit of a living. And can you still hear me, Greg? Yeah,
I'm listening loud.
Okay, that's grand. So what happened was that if you have more than 10 tonnes on board, you can't land in Greencastle because it's not a designated pelagic port.
Mm.
Sounds unusual. Now, the Greencastle Harbour users wrote to the Minister in 2022 asking that he would make Greencastle a designated pelagic port so that the small inshore boats could land here. He told us in September that couldn't be done. And by coincidence, I met the minister last Saturday morning. He was out canvassing in Greencastle. I raised the issue and he didn't seem to have much knowledge about it. And I told him that it looked like some of the boats who couldn't land in Greencastle, but were now having to land in Derry, were going to be stopped from landing in Derry. And that happened on Wednesday night. So there were a few small Killybegs boats that were working out of Greencastle and they had to go home because they didn't have the option of landing in either Derry or Greencastle and that's their seasonal.
And it is because of the 10-ton cap, is it, on landing at Greencastle?
Yeah, that's it.
So if these are smaller boats, obviously they have to steam 20 hours around Killybegs and then presumably then another 20 back to make use of these pelagic stocks. That's completely impractical, isn't it? So they have to take that fish, land it back in Killybegs, and that's the end of it then?
That's the end of it. Basically, they would, you know, trying to get from Greencastle to Killybegs in a boat that's under 40 feet at this time of the year.
It's mental. It's not something you'd want to be doing.
It doesn't make any
sense. Yeah.
But the other thing I'll bring the attention to is in the manifestos for most of the parties, they're looking to have more fish landed in Irish ports,
mm-hmm.
especially the Minister's Party. And this actually prevents us from doing it. So we got a big new harbour finished off here, breakwater done, a lot of investment, and it was going to bring more make the harbour safer, yet by not using it, we're making the fishermen's lives much more dangerous.
Yes, it's like giving you something but putting it out of reach, effectively, isn't it?
Of course,
you can't use it. Why is it designated as such? Is it that there has to be certain officials at the harbour to allow you to land more fish, or is it all year round, 24 hours, 24/7? Or what's the story? Why is this barrier in place now?
Well, the reason that we asked to have the port designated in 2022 is because there was a permanent fisheries police office set up in Greencastle.
Okay.
So as far as we were concerned, basically that was the main cost. And those were set up to allow UK vessels to land in Irish ports. So we can't see now why there'd be a barrier to Irish vessels landing in Irish ports. So there is a permanent fishery office in Greencastle now, and so I can't see why there's any problem to doing it.
Just to be clear, Jared, pardon my ignorance, a UK registered vessel couldn't land more than 10 tonne either?
That's correct, yes.
Okay.
That's correct.
So there's no, but they can land fish there, right?
Oh, of course.
So why are Irish boats being seized in Derry then?
Because Derry is classed as a designated pelagic port for Irish vessels. So they would steam up past Greencastle, go up to Derry to land. And it doesn't make any sense whatsoever. Now, for those that might think that their boats are too deep or too big for Greencastle, that's fine and that's a great facility. But it should be, the facility should also be available for smaller boats that could be used Greencastle.
Mm.
It doesn't make any sense whatsoever.
Right.
It doesn't make any sense city-wise. It doesn't make sense for rural development. It doesn't make any sense for fisheries or conservation.
Yeah, okay. But there was a hoo-ha in pictures taken of the SFPA's port office in Greencastle. Right. Was there a view that once that was established, that would allow greater tonnage of landings or what? Like, or was it known from the get-go that there would be this limit? All right, I've lost you there, Jared. I got all your points, though, in fairness. Now, the main points, I was just rambling off a little bit there, but we got Jared's points on that. The line is breaking up. Apologies. Just to remind you, by the way, hopefully not to bore you, but from 9 a.m. on Saturday morning, we are live from the Aura Leisure Centre, and there'll be plenty of action early on as the count gets underway as to who will fill the five seats in this Donegal constituency. So we're going to be live. John McAteer and other guests are going to be with us as well. Donald Kavanagh, Michaela Clark, and Caroline obviously is going to be there, and Shannon. But on air, myself, John, Trudy, we're also going to have, as I say, Donald Kavanagh's expertise down there, Michaela Clark's expertise as well. We're going to keep you across everything with a full team, and you can listen on the radio till your heart is content. You can also watch the show because we'll be streaming the whole thing live on YouTube and Facebook and X as well, in the usual spaces and also in the watch live section. So if you're at home, and many of you might be on a Saturday, if you're at home, you can just go on to your smart TV or your Fire Stick, bang on the YouTube app and just sit there and watch as things unfold. There will be lulls, but things will move really, really quite quickly. So we're going to get tallies for you really early on and discuss that and bring details of all that. You know the stuff that we do, don't you? But I'm just saying, you can listen to us in your car or at work or whatever, but also if you're at home, you can watch the show as well and keep bang up to date. There's nothing like it, is there? There's no other way you can find out that information. We're going to have it like you're in the count centre. So maybe you are someone who previously attended all the counts and you can't no longer because access is limited, or maybe you can't get out of the house as much as you could in the past and you really want to feel involved, or maybe you're just a young person taking an interest in politics for the first time. Hopefully we'll have all of you covered dependent on your situation. All right, good morning. In relation to voting cards being sent out for the deceased, I've just been on to the Register of Electors. You can either return voting card marked RIP or email franchisedonegalcoco.ie stating name, address, date of birth, date of death and polling number. Hope this helps. Thank you, it does help. Living in Newtown, Cunningham Main Street, got one leaflet in the letterbox, but never seen anybody canvassing. Neither did I. I can't believe you all want people calling at the house. Maybe I'm just weird. Look what happened at the weekend with McGettigan Travel threatened the driver breaking windows. These people think they can do what they like. Someone needs to make an example of these people. Name and shame. Well, we can't. And it also hinders neither kind of companies, because it also, if there is arrests or questioning taking place, it hinders court cases. And that's just the way it is. Aran Moor's our favourite destination since we did a family holiday, Donegal staycation there in 2020. Been back every year since and booked up already for next year. Brilliant stuff. Hope those professional people that cause mental and physical damage get the full professional experience from the courts. Yes, indeed. And a beautiful place to go for a staycation. I haven't got out there between the jigs and the reels since COVID. But hopefully we'll get out there next year as well. We talked about it. It's about weather, though, and with young children, all that kind of stuff. There are several rolls of main water pipe laying in Malin Head for the last 3 years. The part of the pipeline it is supposed to be used for burst frequently, leaving a large part of Malin Head without water. Another problem is that until the pipeline is replaced, the road can't be improved. This is the main road to the most northern part of Ireland, so it needs to be sorted properly, not like before when the road was improved and shortly after a new pipe was put in. Thanks, Greg. My pleasure. Those are the types of things we like to hear about. And often it can help in getting things advanced. I haven't received my voting card. Can I still go down and vote tomorrow? I've been voting this last 50 years or so. Yes, you can. Just bring your license or your passport and they'll know you anyway, right? The bottom line is when you walk into your local school or whatever it is, the people there know you. But it's as well to have your ID with you. They'll say, yes, Greg, how are you getting on? And tick you off, right? But it's just good to have your ID with you, just in case. But of course you can go and vote. Election turnout will be between 67 and 74% in Donegal and probably national for the simple reason the register is a mess. Be amazed if it's any higher. Listen, if it's between 67 and 74% in Donegal, there's going to be shocks, I think, because I don't think it's going to be that. Certainly in the 70s. If it's in the 70s, my word, you wouldn't know who could top the poll.